Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Did you work on Law & Order?
No, I never did a single Law & Order.
You and I were the only people I had met who had not booked Law & Order. I had been there so many times. The writer room called me one time. They're like, hey, we can't find your agent's information, but we have a role that we think you'd be great for. I came in, didn't get it.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have six consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery, and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories, and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but much like Mitch McDeer in The Firm, I too was sought after by many of the top podcast agency to host Meeting Tom Cruise. Yeah, but in the end, iHeartRadio made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and now I work for the mafia. You know, just doing little things, no big deal, take a package here, don't ask any questions. One time I woke up in Mexico, I was fine, easy walk home. So welcome to the podcast run by our friends at Bendini, Lambert, and Locke. My name is Jeff Meacham, and with me is my partner in crime. He served 10 years for killing a man in a bar fight, but the FBI got him out, and now he's hooking up with Holly Hunter. He's Joel Johnstone. Joel, if there's one thing we've learned from movies, it's don't get in a bar fight when you're on leave from the military because your hands are lethal weapons. We all know how that story ends, right?
Yeah. And also, isn't that the premise of Con Air?
That's exactly my next line I've written down is suddenly you're Nick Cage and Con Air.
I stole your thunder.
No, it's great. You're hopping a flight with Cyrus the Virus. You're in convo with Steve Buscemi, a.k.a. the Marietta Mangler. Hey, Joel, speaking of weird serial killer types, Alec Diamond Dog Lev is also currently with us. Alec, honestly, dead serious, if you were to be convicted of any crime, what do you think it would be? Like, what do you think is the most likely crime?
Looking good.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, gross. For being a D-bag. Come on, it would be... Al, Joel, what would it be? It would be a... It'd be like a white-collar crime.
No, it wouldn't be a white-collar crime. It would be stuffing his face like Joey Chestnut with human tissue. Like, he
oh, you
he
think
would
he's
be,
a psychopath? You think he's a psychopath
he's
a inside?
I think he's, yeah, a cannibal. I absolutely
Alec?
Think he's...
I mean, I eat meat.
Oh, wow. That was really... coldly to the point right there. Me personally, I think it would be more heat of passion. Now that we're back in person with customer reps, I see Alex snapping and going red and stabbing someone to death.
Yeah, no, when Dateline does an episode about when Alec Lev snapped and, you know, they found 10 bodies in his refrigerator, they're going to come to me and they're going to be like, did you see this coming? And they'll be like, yeah.
Look, well organized in that refrigerator. You don't want to stack them
Tupperware
up.
Tupperware containers.
Heads are on the bottom.
You got to wrap them in cellophane before the Tupperware, because then you got to think ahead. Once you open the Tupperware, you got to be ready for that, so you want the wrapping. Guys.
And do you freeze them if it's, you know, anything beyond 3 to 6 months? You got to freeze some, you know?
Oh, deep freeze. It's a walk-in.
Hence why you got to buy the chest freezer. You know, that's where you put your thicker meats.
It's what I bought right before COVID.
I've been thinking about Tom Cruise this week because, have you guys heard that Tom Cruise, because he's the most famous actor in the world, as we've decided, has single-handedly started the space race again? Have you seen this? So Russia has decided that because they heard Cruise wants to go and make a movie in space, they're like, no. We're going to do that before you. And supposedly, there's some Russian.
Yakov Smirnoff?
Yeah. Is that his name?
Yakov Smirnoff. Yes. When in doubt, his name is Yakov Smirnoff.
Jeff, do you not know Yakov Smirnoff?
You know, remind me who he is again.
Yakov Smirnoff, one of the great, horrible actors of the 80s.
I mean, I remember when he was on an episode of Night Court, but I thought he was a member
of the SNL. That kind of guy. He's exactly the actor who you'd remember from an episode of Night Court. You got it.
Or My Two Dads or something like that. Perfect Strangers, right? Like, he would fit on one of those. Yeah,
probably guest starred in all of those. Yes.
Why the country? That was his thing.
Gotcha. Okay, so Cruise, so I guess the Russians want to make this happen before the Americans do. So Tom Cruise single-handedly started the space race. And if you have watched the Apple series For All Mankind, you'll know that that's not a smart idea, because next thing you know, we're going to have guns on the moon. And we know how that ends.
Yeah, but this is why I love my boy Tommy. He loves his country. Go USA.
He started the space race. And guys, can I just ask a really dumb question?
Is there any other kind?
Is there?
Oh! Come on, Tom Cruise quote.
Alec is so proud. How come we only ever hear about the Americans and the Russians going to space? What about the French, South Africans? Do they not send people to space?
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
Chinese?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It is a marketing ploy. It is because the Chinese go to space all the time and we don't hear about it. It's
we don't.
You are right. Yeah. Yeah.
What if the movie is about the Russians and the Americans in space, but in turn, Cruise comes up with the idea where he's like, hey, let's make this reality. Let's blow those suckers up.
Hold on.
Oh, I like this. I like this. It's a patriotic thing. It's not.
But what did you just recommend that
we start a war in space?
Yeah. Did Tom Cruise want to kill people just there?
Oh yeah. That's a good point. Now Tommy's not, I don't think Tommy's a real killer.
Well, he was in Collateral.
No, again, that's a movie.
But aren't we talking about the storyline of the movie?
It's unclear.
It is unclear. All right. Before we get to our two guests today, and that's right, we have two guests. Some guy's
two
name.
Really good looking guests.
Oh, God. I'm already disappointed in our two guests. I'm not even going to say their names. We'll get to them. Before that, we got the question of the week. Alec, go.
What role that Tom Cruise turned down would you like to see him play?
Oh, I like this question a lot.
I only know like one or two that he turned down. What do we have a list somewhere?
Oh, I got a whole list for you.
I don't have a list because Jeff just tells me what to ask and I say it and then I go to the bathroom.
Gimme.
All right. So, I mean, again, we're talking about the biggest movie star of all time. So he's been probably offered everything under the sun at some points. But
that's
here we go.
That's what I was going to say. Is this a real list? He's Tom Cruise. Every role, right?
Well, here's the fun.
So we just name stuff?
I'm pretty sure if you did name a movie, he probably had it come across
Dirk Diggler?
His desk.
Did they offer him Dirk Diggler?
I don't know about that, but probably.
Jake LaMotta. When he was 19 years old, he was Jake LaMotta?
I mean, your guests are, these are really fun guests.
Teen Wolf 3, after Bateman kind of...
After Michael J. Fox and Bateman? And Wayne Cruz?
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, so let's get this one out of the way. We all know that...
Gandalf. Did they offer him Gandalf?
He actually was Gandalf. That was him portraying Ian McKellen, playing Gandalf.
He's good.
He's talented.
Better than I thought.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Tony Stark. We all heard this one, that if they did the Marvel movies in the 90s, he would have been Tony Stark. That one, we're not even going to talk about, because Robert Downey Jr.'s, that's probably... I think it might be the best character ever, right? I mean, is that...
Hold on. I completely think Tom Cruise would have been awesome at that.
He would have been... Yeah. I mean,
I'd say that's probably my choice. Are we done now?
What? You guys, that's like the best character ever. Come on.
It is. And I don't want to see anybody else other than Downey Jr. play it. But now that it's in our minds, Tom would have been great.
It'd been great.
Wow. All right. I mean, there are rumors out there, especially with this Thor Love and Thunder and this Spider-Man 3 thing that they're doing. There's rumors out there that he might actually be Tony Stark in some alternate universe. So I'm excited to hear that.
Also that Michael Keaton might come back and do some more Batman.
No, he is. He's doing that in...
Wait, what?
I am.
What? How?
He's doing that in the Flash movie, I think. Don't quote me on that.
I'm so happy.
But they're all coming back. You heard all three of the Spider-Men are going to be in Spider-Man 3, right?
I'll freak out if Michael Keaton plays Batman.
Yeah. No, Joel, he is coming back and playing Batman. And then Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are coming back and doing their versions of Spider-Man in a multiverse world in
together?
The new Spider-Man 3.
Are they doing Spider-Man on Ice? What do you mean together?
Yes, it is. They'll be in Cleveland on the 6th and they will be in Dayton.
What the fuck do you mean they're going to do it together? That's ridiculous.
Just like how you saw. Did you not see Spider-Man in the multiverse or whatever it was called?
That's what it's called.
It's that idea. So anyway.
I'm at my mom's house right now, ladies and gentlemen. She just came in with this note.
What does it say? I can't read it.
You don't have to say the word fuck.
Oh, that is such a mom thing to say.
She wrote it down on a notepad in pencil.
That's going on Instagram, my friends.
Immediately. And Joel, tell them why your mother heard you say that, because what are you doing right now?
I'm staying at my mom's house.
And how big is your mom's house?
It's a one bed, one bath. Yes.
Are you sharing both with her?
Yeah, see. One bed, one bath in New York City with his wife and son.
We make it nice and cozy here.
You guys. All right, here we go. Here's one. Again, I just thought these first three I'd get out of the way, but you guys are jumping hard on Andy Dufresne. He was supposedly offered that for Shawshank. Could we have seen him play Dufresne?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, Jesus, Alec, you're making this not fun. Or maybe you are making it fun. I just thought
Wait,
everybody.
I'm just, I'm enjoying the notion of Tom Cruise in great movies.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Joel,
okay.
How do you feel about Andy Dufresne?
Shawshank, everyone. Shawshank.
Yeah.
Shawshank Redemption. Sorry, everybody.
Yes, yes. And a buttoned-up accountant.
That was for Sean Hayes' cousin, who doesn't know.
Oh, wow. Nice. Way to cross over his cousin in Wisconsin. Nice, yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
I don't even want to talk about that one, because that movie's like, I mean, I think on IMDb, that is the number one rated movie of all time. Like, it's just too perfect. So, Footloose, the Footloose character, the Kevin Bacon character, sure, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that movie in forever. Here's a fun
Tommy
one.
Tommy likes to dance. Tommy likes to dance.
He does like to dance. We know that. Here's a fun one. Cruise chose Vanilla Sky over A Beautiful Mind. Now, originally, A Beautiful Mind was going to be a Robert Redford film. It was going to be he directing it and Tom Cruise starring in it. And as we know, it went over to Howard with Crow in the lead role. But wow. So best picture, best actor, he turned down for Vanilla Sky. That's kind of interesting, right? Could have he done a
Beautiful Mind? I got a hot take.
Go.
I love Ron Howard. Did not love that movie.
Really?
Really?
Love it.
No.
Oh, Jennifer Connelly, who we all have decided is the best of the
I
best.
I don't love Jennifer Connelly, but I'm just saying.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's
a good twist movie. Not a Tom Cruise twist movie, but back to where we had a whole episode about good twist movies.
Oh, yes.
Great twist movie.
That is a great twist movie. The twist of A Beautiful Mind, Joel?
Oh, yes.
That it's all in his beautiful mind. Do you know how the actual mathematician and his wife died?
How? What?
In a car crash like last year.
Huh?
No.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. Sorry to break things down. Please, next movie.
Oh, my God.
There's your twist for you.
Okay, so that one, I could have seen him play that one. Okay, but again, the question of the week is, which one would you like to see him the most? So I'm almost done here.
Iron Man.
Supposedly, Tim Burton called Cruise to play Edward Scissorhands before the obvious choice of Johnny Depp. But no, right? Johnny Depp is that movie. I mean, when you really break that movie down to what it was about,
that movie.
It's insane.
Like what happens
wait,
if you put,
hold on,
like,
Jeff, what's the end of that sentence? What are you saying?
It's about a guy with scissor hands.
Okay. I'm sorry to have interrupted you, Joel.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, if a movie completely falls apart if you recast one person, then that person had to play the role. Like, you know, if you put Judge Reinhold in Edward Scissorhands, you know, that's
you're on fire today.
That movie might That might be one of the worst movies of all time.
What about Yakov Smirnoff?
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah.
What do I do with these hands?
Did you guys see the movie Salt with Angelina Jolie that nobody saw? It's a weird movie. It's she's a Russian spy and some guy comes to get interrogated and he's like, in 4 days, you are going to murder the president of the United States. And she's like, what? I'm just a house mom. And then it turns into this insane movie.
Can we get back to Tom Cruise, Jeff?
What was that in reference to?
Yeah. Well,
Are we just reviewing movies that we haven't seen?
Yeah.
I think it was off of your Yakov Smirnoff impression.
Oh, that is true. I did go Russian. Salt is... was another role that he was offered that he turned down. It would have been called Edwin Salt. Angelina Jolie played it instead as Edwina. I don't actually know the name
of
the character.
Edwin Salt Hands.
You're just naming roles that they gave to women instead of type. Aaron Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich was originally a man. They were going to make it Tom Cruise. He couldn't do it, so Julia stepped in.
Ernie Brockovich.
He was going to be Eric Brockovich.
Eric is better. Though I do like Ernie Brockovich, the accountant. Okay, here we go. Speed, Ghost, I Am Legend, and John Carter. So he could have been the lead role in Speed.
Holy shit.
He could have been the lead role in Ghost, which is insane. I Am Legend, which went to Will Smith. That would have been anybody. That's one of those roles that anybody could have played. I love Will Smith, but anybody could have done I Am Legend.
Not Judge Reinhold.
And not Yakov. And then finally, John Carter, which was one of the biggest flops of all time, that starred Taylor Kitsch.
And for Sean Hayes' cousin, Taylor Kitsch became famous in Friday Night Lights. Amazing.
Why can't we think of his name, his character name? It was like the best character name, too. He
Scruffy.
Was...
Riggins.
Tim Riggins. I think Speed might be right. Oh, I think we all agree. It's Speed, right? Speed. And I think if I remember from Speed correctly, it was not supposed to be her either. That was her big, why can't I think of her name, most famous actress.
It was supposed to be Yakov Smirnoff.
It was supposed to be Yakov Smirnoff driving the bus.
Well, the bus.
Sandra Bullock.
I can see Tom in that moment. Remember when they hit the baby carriage and they look back and they think they just killed a baby? And Keanu plays it cool. Keanu's like, cans. It was just cans. I could see Tom going the other way with like, cans! It was cans! just going doing his manic Tom.
Wait, I think that was Harrison Ford in Speed. And what would that have sounded like?
Yeah, Joel, do cans! Harrison Ford Speed.
All you hit was cans!
The can had one arm.
Those cans were made by Provasic.
I love it when you do.
They were brought to you by Devlin McGregor.
Oh, cans.
Oh, is that your Pacino?
Don't ever again hit that many cans. Not while I'm alive.
That's good. Hey, watch out for those cans.
No, you can't do your Jack those. After we've had Kevin Pollak on this show do the signature Jack.
No.
Okay. All right. Here. I'm gonna end it with this question.
Wait, don't end things with questions. You end them with answers.
Alec, stop interrupting them.
Stop it. This is really good. This is really good. And it's
oh, I like what I think I know where you're going. Instinctual. I think where
you're
going.
Nobody knows. If you have to recast Tom in one movie, you have to push him out of one movie and push somebody into that role. You have to do it.
Okay.
Which movie, which actor? Alec?
Alec.
No, I was just thinking if there's anything I cared less about than coming up with something.
Wow. Wow, way to burn that moment. What about you, Joel?
Born on the 4th of July, Judge Reinhold. And now, commercials.
All right, our first guest today I met in 1999 on the campus of Balliol College in Oxford, England. He was up in a tree doing some kind of Hamlet impression. He had hair like Justin Timberlake and NSYNC. Ladies and gentlemen, Joel Johnstone. Oh, Joel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Well, first of all, Jeff, there's no such thing as a Hamlet impression because Hamlet was not a real life character. Impressions are for real life characters.
Well, listen, I just
Hamlet
did that off the cuff.
Fictional piece of Shakespeare.
Fine. This is the worst idea we've had anyway. So what are we even doing? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. What are we doing? Joel, listen, we did an interview of me. It's time for your interview. Tell me about your life. Birth all the way up to that first moment that you almost met Tom Cruise. Go.
All right. Okay. Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go Packers. Go Brewers. Go Bucks. baseball was my life. Baseball was my life. I had zero interest in acting until I was a teenager. I used to sleep with a baseball glove on my hand and a baseball cap on my hat.
Really?
Yeah. And,
at what point when you were growing up did you realize you were smaller than every other baseball player and this was not going to become a dream?
Well, smaller and also just not like nearly as good, because there were small guys on my team who could throw like 85, and like I was like, oh, I can't do that. And also the varsity team, when I got freshman year into my school, they won the state championship in Wisconsin. So like, you know, they were probably, you know, like the 300th best team in the country. Hang on one second.
Is that T?
Going off.
Yes. One second. Jeff Joel's leaving.
Mom, his mom.
Again, I'm staying
tea.
At my mom's house. I saw what they could do, and I went to one of their games, and I saw a dude hit a ball 450 feet, and he was 2 years older than me. And I was like, well, I can hit a ball 200 feet. I don't think I'm going to get another 250 in the next 2 years. But aside from that, I started doing plays when I was like 13, 14, and then I got cast in my first high school play when I got there. And like, I was getting some attention from the ladies.
That was the bug? The bug bit you?
I got some attention from the ladies, and I'll tell you what.
Oh, the ladies.
You know what gets attention from the ladies in high school? Not baseball.
Oh.
I could count all of three girls who came to baseball games because I played freshman and sophomore year. Girls didn't come to see baseball. They came to basketball, football.
But boy, your production of Guys and Dolls, they were lining up.
I kid you not.
Your lead role in Brigadoon, they were just like, let's see, I want that guy. I want Fiddler on the Roof over there.
What else?
So now, hold on. So Acting Bug bites, so you go to college for it, right?
So then, you know, favorite actor, still in my pantheon of favorites, Denzel. I was like, I gotta follow what Denzel did. Where did he go to college? Fordham University.
I'm sorry. The 5'7" white boy from Milwaukee looked up to the guy from Glory and said, "That's my guy."
Yeah. So I went to Fordham. When I was a sophomore, going into my junior year, I tried out for this summer program for the British American Drama Academy at Oxford University.
Here we go. Now we're good. Yep, it's going to be about me.
And I somehow got in, and I went to Oxford, England, folks, in the summer of 99.
What happened?
And I was there. I was my first night there. I was getting drunk. I was really having fun. And I was walking down the hallway.
What'd you see?
Our buddy Will Greenberg. Our buddy Will Greenberg from Wrecked and a million other things. Really just one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. And I thought I was drunk, and I was, but I looked down, and I saw somebody streaking down the hallway.
Yeah, who was he?
And I in my mind, it was this guy, Jeff Meacham.
No, it was.
And I woke up the next day, and I asked Will, I said, "Hey, but did you see somebody streaking in the hallway?" He goes, "Yeah, that was Jeff Meacham. He streaks down
the hallway." There we go. That's right.
Jeff Meacham. I was naked a lot.
You know, there's a lot of guests we could have on and say, "Give us your life in 60 seconds right up until the moment you saw Jeff's dick."
Most people, it doesn't take 60 seconds.
No, it does not.
And backing up, just fun fact about Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I grew up a mile and a half from another Jeffrey.
Oh,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
And that's so funny because earlier in this exact podcast, we did talk about putting heads in freezers. So it is a circle of life.
Yes.
All right. So you become a professional actor after that because you know this is the dream. And when do you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. In my late 20s. I stayed at Fordham, graduated there, then stayed for another 4 or 5 years doing just, I counted somewhere on my hand between college and after. I think I did about 40 plays. Just off Broadway. Sometimes it was one night only runs.
You got paid I bet.
I kid you not. I did a play in a bathroom of a bar one time. 9 people at a time could watch it.
I mean,
some of my best work. Not joking. Some of my best work.
God bless New York City. I did a play down in the Lower East Side and an outdoor theater that they said was the original public theater. And it was a play. Sure. It was Troilus and Cressida. And I remember when a dog ran up onto the stage in the middle of their production. And I simply thought, what am I doing with my life?
I directed a play in New York where the stage was 4 feet deep from... and 20 feet wide.
What? What is that? Just a long jump?
I did a play. I did a production of Romeo and Juliet where they would not cut a word. So we did every single word of the original Romeo and Juliet.
You're kidding.
It was like a 3.5 hour production. And Tybalt in the end, because it was so long, Tybalt were in the tomb. Okay. And
spoiler.
Romeo, I was not Romeo, but Romeo was going to spoiler alert. Romeo was going to like try and wake up Juliet. Tybalt had fallen asleep, so you got this tomb of dead bodies, and Romeo's crying because he's discovered Juliet's dead body or what he thinks is, and all of a sudden you hear this.
All right. We're on a roll here. So I did a 24-hour, 40-minute version of Hamlet. So 40 minutes on, 20 minutes off for 24 straight hours.
Why?
And all I remember is at like 3 in the morning, I just heard Hamlet go, "Horatio!" And I just woke up and ran on stage. I don't know what. He was so mad, this poor kid, working his balls off, and I just...
And even on Blackish, sometimes they'll go, "Meacham! We're
Josh
rolling!"
Open hole. Yeah, oh God.
You have 3 lines. Wake up.
Oh, New York City. All right, so you know that your dreams have been made already, but you're like, I can do better than this. You moved to L.A.
Well, what happened was did you work on Law & Order?
No, I never did a single Law & Order.
Okay, that is why I moved to L.A. Because the year that I moved to L.A., they canceled one of the Law & Orders.
Sure. The one about killing kids or the one about killing
criminal
women.
Intent. That went away. SVU and the original had one more year to go. Sex and the City ended. The Sopranos ended. You and I were the only people I had met.
Yeah.
Who had not booked Law and Order. I had friends who came in like their first 2 days. I'm not kidding. First 2 days in the city, they booked an episode of Law and Order. I was like, fuck this.
I can't believe there wasn't one.
I've been there so many times. The writer room called me one time. They're like, hey, we can't find your agent's information, but we have a role that we think you'd be great for. I came in, didn't get it. I was like, I cannot fucking book this show. I'm moving out.
I thought I wasn't an actor. I was like, I can't be an actor. I never booked a single episode of this.
Yeah.
Christy did an episode of Criminal Intent where Neil Patrick Harris's character drilled a hole into her head and poured in hot water and then kept her as a toy.
She probably did not recur on that show, I'm guessing.
She did not.
Yeah. Tough to come back from that. That's tough to come back from.
All right. So you're pissed that you didn't get any of the Law and Orders.
Pissed. So I moved to LA, started working right away. Not at all. I was for 5 years. I was working in nightclubs, slinging drinks and ice and going back and forth still to New York because my now wife was still there. We did long distance for years.
Wow.
And eventually got the ball rolling and started working. And then somewhere around the summer of 2010.
Oh, here we go.
I'm studying at Leslie Kahn and Company.
It's about me again. Here we go.
And she asks me to be a teacher's assistant for the incoming students who come in and they do this thing called the intensive. And
right.
I see this familiar face and especially this familiar voice. And I say, I know that guy.
Yeah. Beautiful eyebrows, deep voice. Yep. That was me. Yep.
It's Jeff Meacham. And since that day, we've been in the same acting class. And
hey, man, think about it like this, dude. Every 10 years, kind of monumental then, right? Because we met in 99, though we had seen each other a few times, we became friends again. We connected again at Leslie's in 2010. I believe you're right. It was 2010. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And now here we are 10 plus years later this podcast together.
That's right.
If you guys had any drive, that could have been wrapped up by 2003.
God, we would be so much more successful. If our ADD didn't get the better of us, Joel. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And remind everybody super fast from the first episode how you saw Tom Cruise for the first time. I believe it was 2010, right?
It was around the summer that we met. I had a friend who was in Hot Tub Time Machine, and she invited me to the premiere, and
I'll use the same joke, TNT Instant Classic.
Jesus.
It doesn't get old. The three people who listen to that are listening to this, they're laughing. Like,
I remember that.
We also recorded this bit about 7 times, so I've heard it about 54. Yeah.
Remember how many times we did the first episode?
The barrel of laughs that Alec is right now.
Yeah, you could do the whole thing if you want.
So you're on a Hot Tub Time Machine?
But you know what the tragic part is? When I told that story, I did not know that it was taking place at somewhere we could no longer go, which is the Arclight Hollywood.
Oh.
And standing there in the lobby and surrounded by who's who cast of Hollywood celebrities, and in walks Tom Cruise, and everybody just shut the fuck up and let Tom Cruise take over the scene. Glasses on, leather jacket.
Elevator. Coming down the escalator. Ico, IA.
Yep.
Rain Man. I know. 1988, Best Picture.
I just could, you know, just smooth as can be. Shaking hands. Life of the party. But you know what? I'm glad I didn't shake his hand, because had I shook his hand, I could have only done one episode of this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right.
Can I ask an actual question since we're interviewing him? Can you tell us about how you got Maisel?
I auditioned.
Okay, great.
Oh, God, that is a good story.
What else?
Joel Johnstone, as you guys know, plays Archie Cleary on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, probably one of the most successful comedies of the last 20 years.
Best job I've ever had. I love doing theater, and I will always continue to do theater. There's nothing like it's when I grow the most as an actor, but there's no bigger heartbreak to me as a professional actor than not being able to share our work. And that's just like when I would do something I was really proud of and we did like 3 weekends of it and then it's over. Like, that's heartbreaking that, so-and-so didn't see it. So-and-so didn't see it. I wanted, when we do this, there's a sense of timelessness because somebody can always see it. The jokes always play 10 years later or whatever, or, you know, people still watch it, but at least there's that opportunity. And with Maisel, I know that I will be equally proud in 30 years as I am now watching it. And I will tell you, as fun as it is watching it, it's more fun making it. That show is just, It's playtime. It really is the greatest fucking job.
Joel, so outside of acting, what are your interests? If you weren't an actor, what would be next on the list for you?
Baseball. I mean, you know, I'm only 42.
We're 5'7", you and me. It's not going to happen.
So is Dustin Pedroia. So is I got an inch on Jose Altuve.
What else?
I'm only 42.
The third thing after acting and baseball?
You mean when I retire from baseball?
Yes, that's what I mean.
I do love running. I'm an avid runner. I am attempting to join several charities to run the New York Marathon this year. Everybody on the planet wants to run the New York Marathon this year because it was canceled last year. So I don't know that it's going to happen. But my sister is an ultra runner. My sister logs like 2,000 miles a year, runs 100-mile races once a month. She's bananas. And she qualified for the New York Marathon. I could never qualify for the New York Marathon, but we're going to try and run it together. Anything else?
Like a job? Do you have anything that's like a real job? Not acting,
no,
baseball,
no,
running?
That's why we all became actors and in entertainment, because we couldn't think of anything else to do.
No. I covered a friend's desk one time at like an office job.
Yeah.
I could never, ever do that.
No. Nope.
And God bless everybody who can.
All right, Joel. So then let's wrap this up. I'll ask, where do you want to be in 10 years? What is your career? What does your life look like?
I will be acting in and producing my own Oscar winning films with my production company, which I already have, Border Clan Pictures.
Wait, What's that mean?
Johnstone is a Scottish name. And we were a Border Clan. So we were a warring clan in Scotland. We were fighters.
So not shortstops, fighters.
I bet a lot of those guys died hard.
No. Not easy. Yeah. Those, a lot of them died probably by having rocks crush their skulls, I'm guessing. Oof.
All right. And then finally, when you retire, if you retire, actors, obviously, they just die. They don't retire. But if you could imagine actual retirement, where would that be?
I already know. I can tell you right now, Rome. Ooh. I am going to live in Rome. When I get to the promised land, that is every actor's dream, which is offer only. And I don't have to live somewhere where I have to audition every day, I will live in Rome, Italy. 100%.
Really?
Yep. My wife can join me or not, but I will be living in Rome.
We'll be right back.
Oh boy, Joel, for our next guest, I have done no preparation. How about you?
I don't care.
Fair point. Our next guest once changed his last name. He shaved his head one time. He's an artist. He's a human. I know he's a human.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will say, we kid, but Alec is an enigma. He really is.
I mean, we're going to deep dive that.
You mean the meaning of the word enigma?
Alec, shut up. We haven't said your name yet.
I said that because it's true. And also, I want to hear Jeff's response to hearing that somebody is an enigma.
I know an enigma is a band from the 1980s. Wait, or is it a song? Boy, we should get to our guest. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is a graduate of some college in the middle of Connecticut. He's from New York City. He lives in LA. He's a producer, writer, director, father, husband. His name is Alec Lev. Alec, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Big fan. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Jeez, thanks so much. Alec, we have a unique question for you, but because you, at least when you started this podcast, you were not a fan of Tom Cruise at all, nor have you ever met him before. Oh, what? Oh, you look like you want to say something about that.
No. It's not that I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise. It's a matter of how you handle your fandom that makes me sick. But Tom Cruise is great.
You mean with love?
Sure.
And positivity?
Sure.
And happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is that enigma thing we'll be talking about with you, because on the outside, people might look at you. Well, some of us think that maybe there's
what? Jeff might know what enigma means. Alec?
Yeah.
I think it's a really pretty word. That's what matters most, is it's a pretty
word.
Do
I get to talk soon?
Ugh, Alec, how about this? Before, I'm not going to ask that other question about you. I'll get there. But just tell us about your life up until you started the Meeting Tom Cruise podcast.
Born and raised in New York City. In Manhattan. I did go to Hunter College, elementary school and high school. We boast Busta Moves Young MC, song I did here yesterday. Very exciting.
You went to high school with Young MC?
He was ahead of me. He was older than I was.
Holy shit.
But he graduated. We have other people at that level too. Justice Elena Kagan.
Ah. Young MC and Justice Kagan went to the same high school. That is it.
Yeah. Different times.
Of course.
Chris Hayes from MSNBC. And what's that guy's name? Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's done well also.
I've heard of him. Lin-Man.
And then I went to Wesleyan. Wesleyan University, where we boast Bradley Whitford, Craig Thomas and Carter Bays, who made How I Met Your Mother, Michael Bay, and then what's that kid's name? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So,
I've heard of him. Again.
18 years, rings a bell. He and I, same schooling, 5 years apart.
No shit.
And the jealousy level is, let's put it this way. I read Hamilton first. I'm just going to say that I read the book first. I read the book before he did.
And it made you think of all the same songs and all the same lyrics, right?
I was this close.
Yeah, you just didn't write them down.
I was humming them.
Similarly, I read Schindler's List before Steven Spielberg. And I had the idea. And now, before you even continue, can you tell everybody the first weird, unique thing about you, which we maybe have mentioned before, the fact that you know what about your preschool class and kindergarten class? Tell everybody, weirdo.
Well, just that at Hunter, I went... we started when we were 4 years old. There were about 50 of us that started when we were four. And while other people got added into the school in seventh grade, many of us were there right up through 12th grade. And so, yes, I can go through my, what we call nursery school, pre-kindergarten classroom, and tell you just about where everyone is and what they're doing right now.
And it is a joy, Joel. It is so much fun as he goes through one of those great 1980s pictures. And he's just like, she's dead. Divorced twice. This one's got seven kids.
I'm close with several of them, and they're listening to this podcast. Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Joel. We got fans of this show who I've known since I was 4 years old.
It's kind of crazy, right, Joel?
Did a lot of theater in school, started doing theater in school, directing, and we had an amazing theater program where there were three plays every year with zero parental supervision. It was basically just a bunch of kids putting on our own shows. So then did a lot of theater at Wesleyan. It was my major, theater and English major, did a lot of directing, and started learning sign language. And that's kind of what changed. I told this story already, but started learning sign language, worked at the National Theater of the Deaf, ultimately became fluent. And for the last 20 years, I've been a sign language interpreter, along with doing all these other crazy movie and podcast and theater things.
I'm sorry, is that the end?
Roll credits.
Is that the end of your story?
Sorry, Jeff tuned out. Jeff, a new game.
What'd you like to know?
Popped up on his
iPhone. I don't know, man. And I don't know. Maybe
I was an enigma. Ask some questions. I got them. Come on, bring them
up. Oh, boy. Here we go.
You know, it's occurring to me, maybe I just need to ask myself the questions.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Feels like...
Go for it.
So, Alec, how did you get into podcasting? That's a great question. I was working for the show How I Met Your Mother.
Go on.
I was, as they were new media, what was my title? New media something or other. And I read, it was 2010, there was a magazine, How to Do Your Own Podcast. And I called the guys. I was like, I have an idea. Let's do a podcast. This is one of these audio things. And we could release one with each episode and interview all the guests and all the cast and crew. And so we did. We did 50 episodes of the How I Met Your Mother podcast. And then I did one for the show called Speechless. Did one about Buster Keaton. Did one with our friend Rob, Open Sky Fitness. And then you started talking about Tom Cruise. We started noodling a podcast out of it, and here we are. Ah, it's really interesting, Alec. Thanks for sharing about how you got into podcasting.
I'm literally just waiting for him to get to me.
Oh, right. So, Alec, how did you meet Joel? Oh, good question.
Damn.
So, Joel, we met not till this podcast. We met the first day that we recorded the pilot. I'm skipping over Jeff. We met the first day that we did this pilot. It was the only time that Joel and I have been in the same place.
Is that true?
Alec and I have never breathed each other's air except for the pilot of this, which was right before the pandemic.
So, Alec, how'd you meet Jeff? I made a film called Ready or Not, which my mom saw. And I had cast in it a woman from...
Which my mom saw.
an actress from Wesleyan, Lin Chen. Hi, Lin. And fantastic actress. And then Lin and my friend John Newman, and Lynn couldn't do it, and John couldn't do it. And then Lynn said, hey, I've got a friend, Christy Myers. Why don't you audition her? And I did. She was fantastic. And then Christy said, I see in the breakdown here, you have a character who's kind of like a moron. He's just sort of a...
just a douchebag.
And my boyfriend would be perfect for it.
It's yeah. Jeff yeah. Meacham.
And yeah. so now actually, as the character was playing that the role of that, he was actually the mastermind of the whole thing and playing an idiot. And then so Jeff came over to my house, sat on a chair, had a poker shirt on.
Yep. I had four aces. That I got it from... Lucky Jeans.
Yeah, did the audition. Very funny.
So as the director, you directed this, Alec, correct? You didn't just write it? Okay. As the director, was there ever a moment where you yelled action and well, Jeff was in front of the camera and you just thought, this kid's got it.
This kid's got it. Jeff made me laugh the whole way through.
I did. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
There you go.
I remember that one moment together where they put we were finding the cameras that were set up. And there was a camera behind a trinkety elephant's butt. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Alec,
do you remember what you kept saying?
Look at that. Did I say, look at that? It's in his ass or something like that.
I'm still laughing. He said, he blew the camera out of that elephant's ass.
I was like, and I kept saying, and he just couldn't take it. And I was
I was running the camera too. So he and I were really close to each other and he would say it. And I finally had to use a take where there was one frame, 1/30th of a second between when he said the joke and I burst out laughing. So yes, Jeff was super funny right from the beginning. The character had to have a bald head at the end. And Jeff was very clear. He was like, I am not doing this for your shitty little movie.
I was I'm not going to shave my head for $12. So you will put a bald cap on me. And yeah. That will be the end of that discussion.
And then we started hanging. We played a little poker. And then I moved out to L.A. And then Jeff moved out to L.A. And we've been procrastinating ever since.
Yeah, we've written a lot of scripts that have not seen the light of day. And here we are.
Yeah. So otherwise, what do you got going on right now, Alec? Oh, that's a good question, too. I directed a film called What?, which is now in a bunch of festivals, actually, coming up. There will be a world premiere at the end of August, beginning of September, here in Hollywood.
Put it in the books, folks. Put it in the books.
Dear God, make this end.
Book your tickets now.
It's a black and white silent feature film.
I'm sorry?
It's a black and white silent feature film.
I'm not going.
Which my beautiful wife, Christy Myers, is actually in.
Which your beautiful wife, Christy Myers, is in. One scene. Very funny. Yes, indeed. Wait, I want to be a baseball player. Just like Joel.
Yep.
What?
What? Yeah. I first wanted to be Dave Winfield. And if you don't know who he was, 6'6" tall African-American, 220-pound slugger. For the Yankees, that was my first model of what I was going to be.
Not quite you. It's not
none
quite,
of those things.
That's kind
of
like Joel's Denzel story, though. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Don Mattingly was my hero.
Again, not
that
quite
tracks.
You. Again, not
that tracks.
Don,
not
quite. Donnie Baseball. Now I'm a Dodgers fan. Fuck the Yankees. Next question. Okay, as we wrap up this episode of Meeting Tom Cruise, I wanted to read you something from Chad Ronnebaum, who wrote to us, who said, my brother and I were the kids that rode past Tom Cruise while he was driving the Porsche home with the flashers on in
Stop.
Risky Business.
Stop.
Took about 10 takes, hung out with him between shots.
Yeah!
Very cool. That's the kind of story we like to hear.
Stop it, Chad!
And a question from Betty Bredeman. She says, here's a question I can actually imagine you bantering about. So let's see if she's right. Hmm. Is there anything Tom Cruise can't do?
Doesn't Betty Bredeman sound like the name of the first girl you kissed? Doesn't that's just yes. like you got to say the full name? Nobody would ever say, the first girl I kissed was named Betty. No, it's Betty Bredeman.
Do you mean
Betty
Adrian Froelich, who listens to this podcast?
See, that's the craziest thing. That you
I
know
can't
that
remember.
Name.
The first girl I kissed's name was Lena, and I can't remember her last name.
Mine was Laura Capellucci. She was the baker's
How
daughter.
How was your first kiss? Was it good? Was it a good one?
Fantastic.
Oh, really?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember everything about it.
Mine was horrible. Mine, I think I almost broke both her front teeth, because the first thing I did was I jammed her tooth with my tooth.
Oof.
Then we both kind of laughed.
That makes me hurt.
And then I wasn't sure if tongue should be involved, because I'd heard... I'd heard contrasting things with the tongue. So I didn't do tongue, and then I felt tongue, and then I was like, oh, okay. And then I think I jabbed the tongue a little too hard. It was a disaster.
Where were you?
At a water fountain.
At school?
In a hallway. In a summer camp, yes.
I was at a bus stop. We were at a bus stop.
Mine was playing Spin the Bottle. And I knew I was nervous as all hell. And of course I planned it so it would land on Laura, like had it to. And I remember you could say foreign or domestic. Foreign meaning French kiss, domestic meaning no tongue. Don't know why.
Ooh.
But that was that. So I was like that. Foreign. And then we started jamming tongues. Where was yours, Alec?
On the mouth.
No. Alec.
Meeting Tom Cruise is hosted by Jeff Meacham, Joel Johnstone, and me, Alec Lev. It's also produced by the same Alec Lev.
Wait, but Betty, what was your question again? Oh, what can Tom Cruise not do? I bet he can't cook.
I bet he can't have a bad day.
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick. Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios. Editing by Alec Lev, with additional editing by Alex Reeves.
I bet he can't sit in the same chair for more than 10 minutes.
Our music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger.
I bet he can't not be better than everybody.
Artwork by Rebecca Montoya. Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media.
I bet Tommy can't drive the speed limit.
We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media. Find us online at Meeting Cruise on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website and show notes at meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.com. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars are much appreciated. And write a review. It really helps people to find the show, and we just might read it on the air.
I bet Tom Cruise can't fly a plane without doing a 360.
Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Why do I feel like this one is bringing the children out in us?
Were the children put away?
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
He cannot be handsome.